We'll call this meeting to order. Thank you all for coming. The first voting meeting for the 2013 budget. I'm going to let David Squires, or ask David Squires, to talk. He has put a sheet on your desk. It is called the Sales Tax Distribution Summary. And David, you want to go ahead and...
Well, we just got the latest information in the third quarter. And as we mentioned at the last legislative meeting, that we expected the sales tax to drop during September, the month of September, and for the quarter it was down. So we took the information and analyzed it exactly where we expect to be at the end of the year. So our best estimate right now is at the end of the year we will end up about $200,000 above what is budgeted for the year. And that's based upon an assumption that sales tax will remain flat for the fourth quarter. If you look on the back of the sheet I handed out, it shows the quarterly distribution. So if we added in, what I handed out, the back of the sheet is didn't print the 2012 information.
Don't you know these numbers by heart,
Bill? Yeah. But so we expect that the fourth quarter will get about $7.9 million in sales tax, which will bring us up to $31,600,000 per year. The reason why we want to see what the foundation for the 2013 financial plan is. And we have a modest increase plugged in for 2013, so I can't recommend that you do any modification to what's in the budget. We think that it'll be on target, and all we can do is hope that the fourth quarter really grows a lot, because we really need the last quarter to widen the gap between the budget and what we actually receive. Sorry, I wish I could give you better news that you could, I could be optimistic that you could tweak the sales tax that we have in the budget.
Any questions for David? Comments? Thank you very much. I want to describe to the best of my ability how maybe we should proceed here this evening. We all have the sheet in front of us, the latest that Kevin has put together, in the order that we've gotten these things. And you can see there are many there. You can also figure out from that it's going to be a two-day event to get through all those for the most part. So what I wanted to suggest is that the way we would go at this is names of people, make the motion, second, get it on the floor. I would like everyone who wants to get a bite of the apple. What I would like to have happen, in if we could try not to take too many bites. In other words, everyone can pro or con, but it would seem like that we ought to be able to do that with one trip around the room if we need to do that. So with that in mind, let me begin. Mike?
Just a question, Mr. Chairman. So we're going to go two nights, it looks like. At the end of the two nights, if we're ready to move a budget, will we adopt it, or do we go to the third day?
If we're done on the second night, we will be prepared to move a tentative budget to the full legislature.
Thank you.
And thank you for saying that, Mike. You did mention it to me, and I would have gotten to it at some point. Let me first note, I received an email, and I believe all of you did, from Dooley, that had, it was a narrative talking about reserves and OTRs and New York State cuts to funding and things like that. And it was my sense from looking at that clearly those were things that should be done in the regular budget and cap meetings after the budget is adopted. some of the things that are mentioned in there, talking about, for example, running the reserve from 5% to 10%. That's something that clearly we need to talk about. But I, you know, frankly, would not like to make that part of the discussion as we move toward putting together the tentative budget. A lot of these things are things that I think we probably should have dealt with, and we will deal with those. So that's a promise that I can make to you that we can do that.
I did not intend them for these voting meetings. I intended, it helped me think about the OTRs, and that's all
and
I intended.
My point in saying it is I did not want to ignore the fact that I got them.
Thank you, Jim.
Anybody have any questions before we get the show on the road? Yes, Brian.
Just one. I see what you've got on the slate for today. Is there any? Well, I'll just ask you. There's one for Thursday for planning, which there's a couple today.
Yeah.
And then there's one for Thursday. If by chance we could deal with that as well today, for a couple of different reasons that I really don't need to go into, unless you want me to. But
no, if the planning the planning person is here.
Not yet, but.
No, I think, well, go ahead. Tell me your reasons. And the reason that I was talking about Thursday, the last 10 or 15 include a bunch of people that are not going to be here because they came in after the 24-hour time that I had asked for to have them in by. But
well,
go ahead.
If he's here tonight, and as time allows, if we could add that in as well, just to see, get a sense of the interest of our group, because there is another group that's dealing with the same one, and it was kind of a friendly request today if we can do it.
All right. That makes sense. And remind me when we get down toward the end, all right? First one, I would like to move remove the use of one-time and roll over up $285,716 out of the 2013 budget, because, in fact, we've already paid for it. Is there a second, Mike?
Second.
Discussion? Raise your hand if you're... Yes, Leslie?
Can you say, because what? It's already what?
We bought this already out of the
2012
budget.
Thank you. We bought what?
The $285,716 for the health department new system.
Okay, you didn't say what it was for. You said mental health.
I thought everyone was aware that was what the $285 was for. But I'm sorry I didn't do that. All in favor of doing that, please signify by raising your hand. Opposed, Benny? Thank you. Mike Lane.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a motion. I'd like to amend the budget to add $2,000 per year to the county historian's budget for the Civil War Commission. I thought if we did it for 3 years, that amount plus the small grants that the commission has been able to get, I think we get a lot of bang for the buck out of. And we had $2,000 a year for 3 years. This year we didn't have it, but we could use it for the final 3 years.
Is there a second? Leslin, second? Any discussion for doing this? All in favor? Raise your hand, please. Opposed, Benny? Opposition? Please oppose. Put up your hand. One. Anyone else? Okay. Thank you, Mike.
Is Peter...
Shall I go ahead?
Was Peter for or against? I thought he had...
I don't know. Peter, were you for or against?
For.
For. I had one negative vote.
Oh, well, that wasn't me.
What? What, Pam? Yes, David?
I just want to clarify something with this last amendment. Because of the new accounting classifications, I wanted to make clear that when you do a multi-year adjustment like this, it has the effect of $6,000 of an adjustment, because we have to reflect it as as a amount that is reserved in the fund balance.
Everyone understand that, Dooley?
Why do we have to reflect it that way?
Because the accounting rules say you have to classify your committed fund balance. And if this is approved, it's a committed obligation. And so we have to reflect it as such, even though it's not all for the current year.
So if we have a contract with a union for a certain salary for 5 years, which is not what we have right now, you would reflect the entire amount as one amount?
That's a good question. We probably would not, but because it's a normal process of budgeting, because the salaries are budgeted on an annual basis. But it is sort of content. You made a commitment to do it. I'm just.
Our system should be more flexible than it sounds like it is.
Joe, I think there may be a distinction too in the way it's being proposed for funding, where it's one-time money. So we're really saying here we're going to be drawing this out of our reserves for the next. If it's a three-year arrangement for the next 3 years, so in saying we're going to pull it out of reserves, you now need to put a fence around that in the way you record your reserves. And that makes it different, I think, than a wage contract where you have salary growth that may occur to be funded out of general fund dollars.
I hope the Budget Committee will take up our accounting software also to see if there is another way to handle this.
Pat, go ahead.
I don't think I really understood this either then. This isn't the first year that we have funded this for 2000, is it?
No, the $2,000 was left out of the budget for 2013. So what we're doing is filling it in so that it's there for 2013. The request was made, and staff inadvertently left it out. So
okay, but didn't we fund $2,000 in 2012 and 20? I don't know how far back, but
11 and 10.
Huh? 11 and 10.
11 and 10 and 12. How far? Okay. I thought at the time we originally funded it that it was for 3 years. Are we now funding it for an additional 3 years? Yeah. I didn't understand that, if that's the case.
Well, yes.
Well, how long is this intended then to continue to be funded?
Well, now I will refer to Mike, and you can answer that.
This is only spending $2,000 a year for in the 3 years.
Right.
And we expect the FESCO Centennial to end in 2015.
That's what I was wondering. My understanding when I voted yes for it was whatever year it started, that it would end in 3 years.
Yes.
But it's not. If it started in 2010.
I'm sorry, it started in 2009. 9, 10, 11, nothing in 12. This would be 13, 14, and 15.
Okay, but then in 15, are you going to be asking for another 3 years?
Please, Lord, let the commission dissolve at that
point. Well, yeah. I that's a serious question because...
I don't think so. I think the sesquicentennial of the Civil War celebration ends.
Civil War ended.
Right. It ended in 1865, so 2015 would be the 150th anniversary of the end.
Okay.
I hope it's not going to continue forever.
Well, that's what I was beginning to wonder. Thank you.
Martha.
This is a mechanism we used to use it a bit more than we have recently, just that when you've got something that covers a couple of years, but you know it's going to end, it's not built into your target, it's a little bit different than most things. So it's not simply one calendar year.
That I understand.
Right, okay. So but it's clear that it's going to end.
I just thought it was a three-year celebration.
Yeah.
So.
Well, the world was fine.
Just for my own sake. Go ahead, Julie.
Sometimes we have earmarked money in the contingent fund, which is not necessarily the same thing as one time for 3 years. Would that earmark of contingent fund monies be treated the same way then, David? It would absolutely have to show as an obligation?
No, because it's a budgeted amount. And it would depend, legislature, If you had money, typically what happens, though, is a continued fund may be exhausted. If you had it earmarked for something and it's wiped out, then you have a dilemma at the end of the year. So the decision will be made then whether you reserve it or not.
Marcia Lynch?
Yeah, I just have a procedural request. Wondering if you could announce each recommendation vote, as has been done in the past, what the margin was, for clarity.
Okay. All right.
Thanks.
The first one was?
The duration?
Yeah.
What was the score?
Yeah.
The first vote was unanimous.
Right. Unanimous vote. I'm going to ask to vote on the $2,000 again. Raise your hand if you're in support of that, please. And if you're opposed to it, please raise your hand. Okay. It's, how many do we have? 12? 11 to 1.
11 to 1.
11 to 1. We changed Brian's mind.
We'll get to that in a minute.
Okay. All right. 11 to 1. Mike, we're on to you again.
The next motion I have is for an amendment. Again, this is really a one-time thing, and it does not affect the tax levy. It'd be from the fund balance. $13,000 to facilities to wire the Ford Warner Room at TCPL so that we could have cable TV broadcast from there. This is something that the Government Operations Committee has talked about for about 3 years now.
Is there a second? Pam is the second. Discussion, please. Around the room, Frank.
Mike, if this passes, who will be responsible for, if there is, a monthly fee? Unless Time Warner is going to be generous and provide it for free,
this is just to wire it at this point. It's not the equipment, as I understand it. And Joe may have some more to enlighten us about that. But this is the figure that Time Warner gave us to do the wiring.
Pat.
As I understand it, Mike, that one of the things you mentioned would be our public budget meeting, for example, that we hold at the library to possibly broadcast that. So I'm wondering, do we also need, if we do this, to build in funds for whoever's going to operate the equipment? I guess I think that there will be a labor cost to go along with this.
Well, the only thing I can say in the past, when we've done it, for example, at Boynton, we had our public information staff do that, Jim Blizzard and folks.
Anyone else? Peter, please use the microphone.
Yeah, I'm inclined to vote against this because I'm not sure that I really feel that there's the demand for it, and I think it also ought to come with a complete price tag instead of just parts of the price tag.
Anyone else? Pam?
Well, I think it's important that we have public spaces where we can accommodate a large number of people that for county business. I mean, I think that we have had a public forum over there. We've had budget meetings. I know TCAT has their meeting over there. One of the public meetings for all the agencies and concerned about their budget. I think it would be a phased-in program. I think that committing $13,000 to getting the place wired is worth the investment. And I think that we need to do as much as we can to increase people's participation in county government, and I think this is a way to do that.
Brian?
I join Peter in that I intend to vote against it, not for the reasons he gave. I just want to clarify something. There is a column most of the way over on the right with a labeled effect on levy with a number of 4.66. I'm assuming that if this entire page went through as is, that's what it would be. And having said that, it's my intention, based on what I've heard from my constituents, that anything that's marked as new here, I will be voting against. My druthers would be, I know we can't do it, but would be to deal with everything else that was there, and then if we wanted to go to things labeled new, then we could. That was kind of my explanation to you, Mike, as far as I don't have a problem with the Civil War Commission, nor do I have a problem with the Board Warner Room. I have a problem with its effect on the tax levy, and could we do it or not? And so that's my explanation.
Okay. Mike?
I just want to point out that this does not affect the tax levy.
I'm sorry. You're right. Mike? Will?
Well, I was going to point out the same thing, but I think this is important. And just to be clear, well, we're not. This is not providing cable service to the library. This is the ability to make the library able to broadcast in real time not only our meetings, but essentially any meeting done by the community that gets on public access. And I think at this time it's important because, as you probably are aware, we are having a problem of shrinking public meeting space. And the ability to broadcast opens meetings from any group in our community up to a much broader audience. I think it's a very small investment for basically fostering community and democracy. So I will be supporting it.
I'd like to make it. I'm frankly surprised that it wasn't already there when the new library was built, but that's just me. Are we ready to vote on this? Martha?
Is this the sort of thing where our equipment could be brought over to the library?
I believe so.
We just don't need the we don't have the wiring to make it
Marcia
work.
Marcia is shaking her head, yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Nodding her head.
So so the equipment's available. The staff is available if Jim or his other employees are available. It's the wiring is the gap. Okay, so I think this is a good investment.
Okay, ready to vote on this? All in favor, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Did you not vote?
Please? I'll vote yes.
So 7 to 5.
It's still
7 to 5.
How did 6 get to 7, Mr. Chair?
It was six, and one person hadn't voted, and she voted.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Point of information. Our threshold for passing at this point is 8 or just a majority?
Majority of those present. So
thank you.
Seven.
Yeah. Thank you.
Majority present. Did everyone hear that? Okay. Mike, you're still on.
The last amendment I'd like to propose is a change in how the budget would address the structural deficit of TCAD. Presently, the administrator's budget recommends $170,000 to be one-time money for that. I think that we should begin to address this deficit with target money, and have proposed here that we do $70,000 in target and $100,000 one time. I realize there's some things going on now to look at other sources of funding. I'm not sure that that's going to be without controversy if we do it. Also, I would point out that if we did the $70,000, it would put us back with the $7,000 that's in the budget now to about where we were about 10 years ago for this this agency. Mm-hmm. So I move that.
Is there a second? Julie?
I'd second it. I'd also ask you if you would be equally supportive if it were reduced to 50,000, because I like the concept also.
I would like to do the 70. If that doesn't pass, I would certainly support 50.
Anyone else want to make a comment? I would like to, and then Will and Martha and Dooley. My sense is that we do have this committee that's been put together, and I would like them to do their work before we put target money in this organization. If if at the end of all of that we can't come up with a way to fund it other than Target, then, or a mixture of Target and some other things, then clearly I would be supporting removing, you know, putting money in Target to support TCAD in another year. But I would like to wait until we see what the committee comes up with. And Martha, go ahead.
Ditto.
Anyone else? Will?
The same.
Anyone else?
The same.
Dooley, go ahead.
Although the document that circulated that you acknowledged existed at the start of the meeting wasn't intended for this voting meeting, it did include the concept of recognizing when there are structural deficits in entities that we actually support. And so if this fails tonight for TCAD, although I'm sure that the task force is not going to be able to fund it without recommending the county spend something, but if this fails because of the existence of a task force now, then I hope you will consider doing this for the library, which is where there's also a structural deficit, and we should begin to move it into our tax levy.
I would like to vote on Mike's resolution. A yes, me, is supporting what Mike is trying to do, and no, is leaving it the way it is in the budget. All in favor of Mike's resolution, please raise your hand. 1, 2. Opposed. It's 2. Marcia, it was defeated 10-2. You have that? Dooley Kiefer, you're next.
Really?
You are.
But, oh, it's the same.
Oh, you have this.
It's the same motion. It's
yeah,
50,000.
So
I think it's hopeless because it's
okay,
think
we'll
the
go by that.
Is it.
Try it.
Are you serious? All right. OTR 74 at 50,000.
Is there a second, Frank? Do we need any more discussion? All in favor of Dooley's resolution, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Please oppose. It is. It fails 9-3. Thank you. Robinson, Chalk, McBean, Claiborne.
Wow.
Change from Target to one time. What? I'm sorry?
Nothing. You just said my name. I'm supposed to say present. I'm here.
Change from Target to one time. Who wants to move it? Brian?
What is it?
Yeah. It's a one-time expense, according to Greg. It was a...
It's a contract.
It's a contract that's due to expire this year. They're not going to renew it after this year, which to me sounds like a one-time expense and can be used that way and not in Target.
Did I have a second for that? I assume. Okay, go ahead. Anyone else want to talk about this? Peter, Martha.
Well, it sounds so right what Brian says. One wonders why this was done this way. Was this just a slip from the ITS director?
I'm not certain that's true, but Joe, do you want to try to answer?
Yeah, I wish Greg was here because I can't, and I was looking for the long version of the OTR to read the narrative. I know when we looked at it as an ongoing expense. It's a network engineering type expense. I almost think we need to hold this until we can talk to Greg and kind of get our bearings on this.
Would the mover and seconder agree to that?
No.
Okay.
Yes, it's fine. It's fine.
You'll have to check with Carol.
I'm giving Joe a hard time. It's fine.
Yes,
we'll remove this from consideration right now.
Well, I have in my notes that it could be one time, and I don't.
Yeah.
I didn't write anything else. But Greg was here. I wouldn't have written that except
Martha,
if Greg
said that. Let me explain
something. Greg said that.
Let me explain something. I do not want to make changes in someone's budget when they don't have the opportunity to talk about it. That's why we invited people. That's why all these people are around the room. So
why isn't Greg here?
Well, Greg did say change it. It's okay to change it to one time.
Yeah, it does say that, and that's fine. If Jim wants to hold it until Greg can be here, that's okay.
We should take all those
off. I wrote the same thing. That's why it was one of the motions I was bringing.
Yeah, I wrote it in here, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Whatever. Peter?
I've moved to table.
No second.
Is there a second for that?
No,
there's no, die for a lack of a second. Brian, let me ask a question.
Sure.
We agree.
Yeah. I think...
Okay. Go ahead.
Do you want me to answer it before you ask it?
Go ahead. Well, no. I mean, I'm trying to be respectful of the department head. If you guys have better information than we do, then go ahead.
It sounds like we've got four of us here that wrote notes in here. That is what he said, because I remember bringing it up during his presentation, and he said, yeah, that's fine. That's probably what it should have been anyway. And procedurally, even if on Thursday and he is here, we can always change it again.
Okay.
Or I can, if you want to wait and take this out of order, I'll try to get him on the telephone, and we can lock it in right now.
Okay.
If that works.
Does that work for everyone?
Well, my question is, there are four motions for ITS. The other ones change from one time to target, and then to add two is one time. So either if he can be here Thursday, or if Joe, you can ask him about all those things. You see the list there?
Yeah.
Okay.
So am I hearing that this is off the table right now?
We can revisit it. We should
let's
vote
just
on it.
Let's hold it for right now.
Okay.
See if Joe gets a hold of him.
Okay.
If not, we'll start back on Thursday.
On the table instead of off the table?
Well, on the table.
Under the table.
We're not going to vote on it, okay? It's a simple Town of Ulysses terms until we get the answer.
This is where I'm going to
go. Steinchak, Kiefer, McBean, Clairvoyant, Proto, Kofa. Someone want to move that?
I want to move it.
Frank moves. Peter seconds. Discussion.
Yes. Well, do you need an explanation?
Yes.
Oh. This is the restoration of the RAP money for the weatherization that was unfortunately cut when the state did not restore the RAP money, even though they did receive the adjusted HEAP money from the feds. And this was not particular to Tompkins County. This is how they reacted across the state. And I think it's important that this program, because it serves, I think at last count there were 150, I saw Lisa sitting over there, I think there's about 150 recipients in our community that use this. So I think this is a worthwhile restoration. And the hope is that perhaps in light of today's article in the paper, some of us still think there's some hope for Cuomo, and perhaps he'll see the wisdom of his error on the mandate. You don't think so, Martha?
I do not.
So anyway, I'm...
Please let that go there.
Okay.
Anyone else? Pat, Peter, Dooley.
Could someone please remind me of, maybe Lisa since she's here, is this funding for the materials and so on to actually do the program, or is it for a person? As I understood it was for a person.
We will have an answer at the back microphone.
Hey, the funding is for personnel costs, not for materials.
Peter?
Yeah, I feel pretty strongly about this. It's my understanding that this is for connecting people who need the materials done with people who have materials to do it. It's making that connection, and there's hardly anyone else that's better qualified to do that than COFA. They have the connections with the people in need, and I just think that the idea of elderly people not having their house warm at night in the winter is heart-rendering, and so I support it on those grounds.
Dooley?
to the extent that no one is happy substituting local taxpayer money when the state removes its support for important programs, it's my belief that not many counties will do this. And when the state realizes the error of its ways and restores it, we'll just be ahead of the game.
Martha, and then Brian, and then me.
Lisa, I have a question. So this is personnel. This is, if I seem to remember, this is a seasonal. It's a part of the year person.
Well, actually, the person it's a full-time staff person who is able to work on the program at a full-time equivalent for part of the year and then half-time for another part of the year because of job duties.
Okay. So does this mean that if we do not fund this, that person's full-time job goes to part-time?
No, but what does happen is that another part-time person, that job goes away. Due to, you know, seniority and civil service, et cetera.
Okay. And if we don't fund this and somebody comes in to COFA for whatever they come in for, is there whoever they talk to, would they be looking at income eligibility and ask them a couple questions about your house and do you need weatherization, or would this just not be part of the conversation at all?
That would still take place either over the phone or in person. What would go away would be our ability to spend time, going to individuals' homes, assessing the problem, and connecting them with other entities, other home repair agencies, facilitating that enrollment and facilitating the application assistance. Often there are multiple applications that need to be filled out. So
I'm really sympathetic to this, but these are tough times. So I'm trying to figure out if it's being done another way. So for example, if you get a sense that somebody might need this, could they make a call to say Tompkins Community Action, and would they then do, because they do weatherization, would they be essentially doing the same thing?
We would certainly try to. It's a difficult question to answer too. We would certainly give people all of the information that we could to connect them with other agencies that might be able to help. And then if they call that agency and the agency isn't able to help, that's where it would stop. So what happens often with when we're involved is that it doesn't stop there. We continue to try to look for other resources, for volunteer agencies. Oftentimes there are three or four different avenues that you have to go down to see if a repair can be funded, because it varies, the eligibility requirements, the type of repair, the income, et cetera. So.
Okay, I happen to know that I think this program works very, for example, in Dryden, hooking people up and making really good use of little pockets of money in different places. It's a tough one for me, but I think I'm going to vote for this.
Brian.
Lisa, I seem to, it's a little bit frustrating trying to remember a couple weeks ago when we spoke about this. The funds, the state cut funds for RAP, but they actually increased at a consummate amount funds for
heat.
Something else?
Yeah, for heat.
On the statewide level, the RAP funds come out of the HEAP budget, the federal HEAP budget. And so last year, when the HEAP budget was going to be cut by 50%, they wanted to shore up the funds statewide, so they cut the RAP program. My understanding is that when the federal HEAP funds were restored on a state level, they did not go back in and restore the RAP funds, which I think make up 3 or 4% of the statewide HEAP budget.
Okay, but they did raise what you got for HEAP basically in this amount.
No, no, there wasn't. I don't think that there was that equivalent increase. I don't know that you could look at it in that same way.
Okay. I must be thinking of something.
Okay. I'm not going to support this. Number one, it being one of those programs that the state has cut back on, and I don't have the optimism that my colleague, Ms. Kiefer, has, that they will see the error of their ways and replace it. It's a discretionary item to us. It's not a mandated item. And, you know, at this point, I can't support it because they're obviously, to me, unless I'm wrong, there are other agencies in the community who are doing these kinds of things. So I have Peter and then Payne.
Well, just a couple of things I'd like to say to the comments that got made. It doesn't seem to me to be the right thing to do for the legislature to try to figure out how to manage a program for a department so that, in fact, if you don't fund it, that the job will get done. I have a lot of experience with the Office for the Aging and have heard for many, many years about how its programs are handled, and I was impressed at how efficient it was done and how the director worked very hard to make sure that every penny that we spent, that we gave her, I wasn't one of the we then at that time, was appropriately spent. When Lisa put it up as an OTR, I assumed that she felt she needed extra money to be able to continue this program, that it wasn't a way of getting extra money for something else. Jim, I don't think that the right way to punish Governor Cuomo is to have an old person that's cold in the wintertime, and that's what's going to happen. So the person that we're doing is the one that if we don't fund this, we may be punishing Governor Cuomo, but we're also punishing somebody who needs the service. And I don't think it's the right way to look.
Thank you. I don't think I can respond to that at all. Pam, go ahead.
Lisa, do you think that other agencies will pick up the slack on this? I mean, we're talking about senior citizens here, right?
Just ask the same question.
Which is a particularly vulnerable community. So do you think that we have other agencies who will pick up the slack if we don't fund this?
There are certainly other agencies that we work with in town on this program, but as I said before, they're the ones that often call us with the individuals that they can't serve. And those are the ones that we're talking about here, that we go into people's homes to, you know, to try to ascertain what the issue is and then see if we can find other avenues for serving them. So certainly, yeah, we have a great group of agencies in town that we partner with. If an individual doesn't meet the criteria for that particular agency's programs or services, they don't have any obligation to serve them. They'll just, you know, say, call Office for the Aging or call Department of Social Services, et cetera. So,
okay. I just have another comment to make here. I agree that this is one of those moments when we have to look at what our priorities are. We also have to look at the fact that the safety net that we have been so proud of in our society has huge gaps in it right now, and they are growing. And so on a local basis, we are going to have to choose whether we are going to allow old people who are poor to be cold in the winter or not. And I mean, I'm sure many of them will find, or some of them at least will find other ways, or they will just lose their homes or whatever. But this is one of those moments, and for me, I can't let I have to support this because this is at the heart of what we do as a society. We care for the vulnerable, and if we can't keep them warm in the winter, I think that's pretty sad. So I know people have perfectly legitimate reasons for not supporting this. Because it's one of those things you have to set your priorities, and whether this is a priority for you or not is certainly up to you. But I do think that it is just at the heart of our safety net, and I will support it.
Frank.
Yeah, thanks for saying that, Pam. I think Lisa covered most of what I wanted to add, but there's one piece I wanted to comment on that Peter brought up. Just to remind you, yeah, there are other agencies that perform similar tasks, but as Lisa explained, if you don't meet the eligibility requirements for that agency, they can't help you. But bear in mind, this is for elderly seniors. And just visualize sending someone off. Did you ever go on a scavenger hunt? Can you imagine somebody having to go to every agency at whatever age these folks are? At any rate, I just think it's worth supporting.
I have Martha and Leslie.
And Pam, Pat?
I'm sorry. No, I have, yes, Martha, Pat, Leslie.
Thank you. I should say that this is the first target increase we're talking about. For folks who are nervous about the levy increase, it's important to remember that we can cut things out later on, and I see on the agenda for Thursday are some cuts. I haven't had a chance to go back and look and see where we might be able to shave. I think it's we shouldn't sort of prejudice our decisions about, oh, we don't want to dare add anything now, because we haven't. You know, we might be able to find cuts somewhere else, tomorrow, Thursday night or later. So that's part of why I'm going to say I want to go ahead and support this.
Pat.
Well, I'm going to try not to echo things that have already been said. I support what Pam said, and I want to thank you, Martha, for the reminder you just gave us. This is tough. And it's likely that you're going to hear me voting against a bunch of things tonight that I'd really like to be able to support. But I'm reminded that even though we may not be in quite as much of a bad situation as we have been for the last couple of years, that we're still not in a good situation. We are in it's sort of a status quo is what I would call it. And as much as I would love to be able to say yes to a lot of these requests, I just feel like I can't do that at this point. However, this is one of the ones that if we don't do this, the idea that there are other agencies that do similar things, I understand that. But I was out at a constituent's home in North Lansing yesterday, and she has a home health aide that comes two mornings a week. She uses a wheelchair most of the time, although she can occasionally get around with a walker. And the idea of her having to go from agency to agency to try to get the services that she might be able to get if she was able to access them. It's just beyond my imagining that she would be able to do that. And the fact that there is actually an agency that will go to a person's home and help to evaluate their needs and make sure that they get connected feels very important to me. So I am going to support this.
Leslie Bryan.
Pam, thank you for saying what you said. I was sitting here trying to figure out how to not say old people, but it's just what it is. And I point out that it's really interesting that there are lots of agencies that do this kind of work. But there's low income, and then there's low income. Many of the other agencies that do this kind of work are, the threshold for low income is generally where the federal threshold is. And they may be most of our seniors are in fixed incomes, and some of them might be right at that threshold. Some of them may be just above their threshold, but they're still low income, and they wouldn't qualify for the services of those other agencies. So it's really important to know the distinction. And this is a place where they can still get the assistance, even though they're $5 above the threshold or whatever it is, $100 above the threshold. They can't afford to do it on their own. So I'm fully in favor of supporting this.
Ryan?
Yes. more of a question for Kevin. And this is with respect to Martha's last comments. Yes, we can add stuff in, and there's things later that we can take out. However, that figure that I pointed to at the beginning of tonight, those things that are taken out, anything that's listed here has already been factored in.
Yes, but there's an overlap, especially with something like the TCAD, where there were two suggestions, so that number was inflated a little higher than it should have been. So, for example, the change from the 70,000 and 50,000.
Right.
So you'd have to subtract one of those out, or actually in this case now, both of those. So it's just a sum of everything down below, and there might be certain instances where, you know, it's the same OTR that they're talking about, but different variations of it, and so each of those effects are being added to it.
Okay. But when we get on down to the bottom quarter,
yep,
and we're seeing all those negatives, and we haven't even talked about those, but those are figured into that figure.
Yeah, and what I can do, too, is I think I can show you, if I just take those out of here, you can see that top number change. So I can just, as we go down this list, this effect that's at the top here, I'll make it bigger.
What's that number now, Kevin?
4.37.
So the question is, does that include the negatives on Thursday night's agenda?
It does.
Oh, okay. Oops.
So that reflects everything.
Anything else, Brian?
Thank you.
No.
Mike?
I would simply hope that we would look at each proposal tonight and make a decision based on its merits, let it rest on its own bottom, not say, well, maybe if we add here, we'll cut something else later. My experience with many years on legislatures here is that it's very easy to add things. It's hard to cut them. And so I hope we don't use that kind of thinking that maybe we'll cut another tomorrow.
Anyone else? Lisa, I have one question for you. If it's restored, this is a person, right?
Yeah.
But there's no money involved in actual construction.
There isn't. No, she. It would enable us to apply for money, for grant money.
Okay. Anyone else?
Obviously, I just want to say, obviously, it wasn't the first target increase we were considering. I might have said, it wasn't. This isn't the first target increase we considered tonight.
Yeah, and
I misspoke.
You know, just let me say from my point of view here, I am not suggesting to any of you that whatever you say about cutting here and adding there, I'm fine with that. You know, when we get down to the end, we have to add it up, and the public will know what we've done. So I am certainly not in any position to tell anyone or even suggest to anyone what they want to do. So are we ready to vote on this? A yes vote means you're in favor of the resolution. A no vote means you are not. All in favor, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Opposed? 1, 2, 3. It wins 9-3. Or it passes 9-3. Sorry. Now, Joe, we're back to Joe and ITS. Go ahead, Joe.
Whoever kept notes that night kept good notes.
Mm-hmm.
I did talk to Greg on the phone. He agrees that that's an appropriate switch from target to one time on that 13 $1,000 item. I also asked him if he had any objections to the ones that follow under ITS. You may recall that this would be going from zero to something more than zero. The recommended OTR was zero, so
right.
He doesn't object to the subsequent OTRs that are on that list for ITS.
So we will go back to Brian and Leslie. Brian?
Do we have to make the motion again?
Yeah, please do.
Yeah.
And Leslie, you're seconding?
Yes.
And this is
second.
for the 13076 one time, right?
Yes.
Anyone have any questions?
Yep.
All in favor? Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Or raise your hand. Raise your hand, please. Opposed? 12-0. Next one. For Brian, 4,000.
Yes.
You'll move that. Is there a second? Will. Any discussion? Brian,
please?
Frank.
Yes.
Pat. Joe.
Can someone tell?
Brian, Frank, Pat, Joe. Joe, do you want to say something first?
Well, maybe I can clarify because it looks like the next three are all with the same OTR.
Thank you.
This is a $4,000 item that Greg, that the department had requested to support a modest amount of ongoing overtime.
Right.
It's new. The department hasn't done it before. So the first OTR that's introduced by Brian would put that back in the budget, $4,000 in front of a target dollars. The next one down from Dooley, I believe, says it's back in the budget, but we would fund it with one-time dollars. The third one from Dooley, I believe, is
Lesman,
I'm sorry, is put it back in, but not at the full $4,000. Put in at two and use one-time money. So it's all about the same.
So the $4,000, the two $4,000s are the same. The $2,000 is a lowering of the first $4,000.
And one-time.
And a one-timer. Martha?
I want a clarification on what you said Greg said over the phone.
Right now the budget has nothing in it at all.
Okay.
So anything is better than what exists right now. So he's okay with any of these. Obviously, a department head is going to say I'd prefer the target money. But.
Okay.
Brian?
Yeah. My reason for proposing this the way I did, every, there aren't that many, 24/7 operation that we have here in the county has budgeted overtime in it. IT is obviously in support of all agencies, including 24/7 agencies. Now, we've talked about this in budget, and he's been trying to deal with it with comp time and, you know, whatever. I don't think, and we haven't had a whole lot of follow-up discussion, but I don't think that works well. I think he actually needs money budgeted for overtime, if for nothing else, to support the 24/7 operations that we do have, because if you don't and you have to make them wait, the overtime that is generated from those other agencies, particularly the Sheriff's Department, if they can't process the folks that they need to process, they've got to hang around on overtime, which is a lot bigger bill than we're going to get from here. And being that it's the first time, my guess is that might even prove to be low. But at any rate, I mean, we've got to start somewhere. But I feel strongly that at some point there needs to be some target in there.
Am I on that list?
I have Dooley and Martha. Oh, do I have you?
Yeah, didn't you have me on that list?
No, I didn't, but I'll put you on it.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Brian, I agree that there should be overtime, but I also know that there's a, I don't remember if it's a task force or a working group looking at ITS strategic plan and how the personnel lines will change, if at all, is one of the many things under discussion. So that's why I would support something as one time until we really figure out what they might need in the future. The other thing is that I remember Greg saying when he was here before, he was asked how often do they get called on? And he says maybe 12 times a year. So it seemed not as crucial to put a large target amount in to me. So I would support what I have or what Leslin has in preference to target tonight.
Martha?
I would agree with what Julia said and would point out that of the four positions that in all of our 700-some that Joe recommended, we add four positions. One of them is in this department, deputy director. So, I don't know if that's going to take up all of the overtime needs, but I think it's reasonable to put some money in as one time and look at it a year from now.
Frank.
Thanks, Jim. I was just reading the write-up, and what I read is if not funded, ITS will be unable to respond to requests for unscheduled emergency off-hours support. And if I heard Dooley right, Greg indicated that they're called on about 12 times a year.
That's what I noted he said. I think that's right.
If that's the case, what was... Now, Joe's acting as Craig tonight, right? Why would he only have put in for one time if indeed they're called on at least once a month to step in and do something? Wouldn't that justify a target increase?
He's still trying to get his arms around what kind of an expense there will be. He's done a really good job in controlling overtime. I don't think there's been much at all so far. So I think he's really trying to judge how much he might need in the future with respect to overtime. And it was also, you'll notice, ITS had a number of OTRs this year. They had 15, and this was priority 15 of 15. So in terms of how we looked at it, we also took that into account.
Okay. Just a quick follow-up, Jim. Can you say something about Dooley's comment regarding a task force or a group looking at the whole ITS area, what that's involved?
Well, no, there is a task force that's looking at it. We've tried to do, I don't like this cliche, but I'll use it, we've tried to do some of the low-hanging fruit that came out of that conversation in this budget. So you can see that there are major changes to the organization. There's a new position. There's software that we're purchasing and so forth, the web page. So we've tried to take care of the greatest and most immediate needs in this budget. That task force, though, has a life beyond this budget and is continuing to look at ITS, the way it's organized, the way it responds to things, what else it may need. So that is ongoing. I'm not going to try to prejudge the outcome of that. All I can tell you is a serious group that is looking at the whole range of issues within IT.
Is Brian part of that group?
I don't think so. Dooley, there are a few legislators I know on the committee.
When mentioned Sirius, I immediately thought of you.
No, I was part of the other group.
Pat Fryer is also in that group.
What's on the table right now?
4,000.
4,000? Target. Thank you.
Brian.
I don't have... I understand we're trying to hit a moving target. If you want to make it one time until we can have some history behind it to see what that number should actually be, that's fine. Actually, Martha, I understand that there's a new position. You also need to remember there's a lot of new initiatives that are going on within IT, and I'll bet you that that position is not scheduled for midnight to 8. So, I mean, there's going to be some times where you do need that sort of stuff. So I'm not opposed to withdrawing this and putting it at one time. I would like to see it as part of target at some point.
So your resolution is now one time?
Yeah, pick one of the other two.
Well, we'll pick yours. Who's the seconder on?
I was the seconder, but I yield to Julie.
Okay. And then I had Leslin.
Well, I was going to amend Brian's, but he's since taken away my thunder, so for the $2,000 one time for this.
Second.
Are you going to make that motion?
Well, yes, sure.
I'll second it.
I'll second it.
Okay, I have...
I'll third it.
So, no, wait, this is... 2,000 one time.
One time.
Okay. Pat, you had your hand up. Go ahead.
It's been taken care of. Thank you.
Are we ready to vote on this? $2,000 to one time for overtime.
You have to vote on the amendment.
I'm sorry?
You have to vote on the amendment.
Yeah, well, that's what we're voting on. All in favor of the amendment, please raise your hand. Opposed? One, right? 11 to one. So now the main motion is 2,000 one time for ITS, and as we've learned, is for OT. Ready to vote? All in favor, please raise your hand. Everyone over here, and 12 good. Okay, thank you. So the 4,000, 2,000, that got taken care of. We are down to OAR, I believe, and that would be Peter Stein.
Move it.
What you are moving, Peter, do you want to talk about it?
Yes, I would like to talk about it.
Okay, you're moving $15,000?
Moving $15,000.
To Target?
To Target.
Is there a second? Pam?
Okay. Can I ask for clarification? Is that just to the general budget or to the bail fund?
General budget.
Okay.
So,
that's general budget, right?
Right.
Okay. Okay, go ahead, Peter.
Well, I just like to put it into perspective. So let me just give a very brief description of what OAR does, simplified. OAR does essentially two things. One is the bail fund. And the bail fund is really not really a social service. It's something that makes us money. If we didn't have the ability to make bail for people, then those people who were arrested would be in jail and we'd be paying the cost of keeping them in jail. So that's simply a financial decision. You don't really have to worry about what goes on. But there's another thing that they do that doesn't make money for us. And that is to tend to the needs of human beings who are not generally considered attractive human beings, like old men that are cold and babies that are crying. These are the people who are incarcerated, and what happens is that they are really very much cut off from society. And since I've been chairman of the Public Safety Committee, I've gone to all the meetings of OAR. And I have become very impressed on how much good work they do on a very small amount of money. And their wages are small, they work long hours, and they struggle to raise money. It's not easy to raise money for that particular client group. Therefore, I want to propose adding $15,000 to the budget, to Target. And one that's being used for three things, and I'll describe what they are. One is to increase the hours of the operations manager to 28 hours a week. The reason they're doing that is that now the people who are doing some of the work of the operations manager are the people who provide the services, and she would prefer to have that person paid extra so that the people who provide the services can spend their full time doing that. Secondly, to provide a cost of living increase of 2% for the first time in 3 years to all the people that work in OAR. And third, to increase the executive director to 36 hours a week and or pay half of the increase in the cost of their health premiums. That would be $1,500. So that's what the breakdown is. OAR is not part of the Human Services Coalition. It probably should be, but it isn't because it has a unique relationship. It has that relationship with us. And I was talking to the head of the Human Services Coalition and asked how
the salaries of OAR people compared to those in the rest of the Human Services Coalition, she said lower. So that's my pitch, $15,000.
Someone else, Ledland, and then Pam.
Peter, I wanted to respectfully disagree with you that OAR does tend to old men who are cold and babies who are crying by way of the nature of the work that they do. When parents are incarcerated lots of times, they do have to deal with those families on the outside as well. That said, I appreciate your pitch, but I want to offer an amendment to your motion. I'd like to amend Peter's motion to increase to OAR's general budget by $10,000 instead of $15,000.
Is there a second for that? Martha, discussion on the motion to change $15,000 to $10,000, basically. Is that for Target?
No, it's Target.
Okay. Dooley, have your hand up? Go ahead.
I'd like to ask Leslie what you hope to buy with that.
I don't want to hope to buy anything. I'd like the director of OAR, who brought to us several priorities, to make that decision. It is an arbitrary number. I looked at what the county administrator gave and what they were asking for and thought, you know, we could be closer to the halfway mark, which is $30,000. We couldn't quite give them everything else. I'm particularly interested in increasing in the health care costs, and that's my interest, health care costs, and the staffing costs to increase the client services person. Those were the two areas I was interested in, but I leave it to the director, not to micromanage from my end, to figure out where the need most is.
Since Peter did a good job of getting details from the director, and I understand the need for those, I'm inclined not to support your amendment because of its lack of specificity, but thank you.
That's fine.
Pam, you had your hand up early on the first one. Go ahead.
Yes, I did. Well, it applies. I think that if for no other reason, we should support the $15,000 because it saves us, last year I guess it saved us over $400,000 in board out costs. I mean, if you just look at it from a purely financial point of view, I think that it makes good sense for us to be adding another $15,000 to their budget.
Pam, may I ask you, we're talking about 10 here. Does that hold true for the 10 that we'll be voting on?
Well, I was hoping that Leslin would go to the 10 second, because I would rather try for the 15 and then go for the 10. But I won't vote for the 10 until the 15 has been voted on.
Okay. Well, at this point, we're voting on the 10. Frank, or Martha and Frank?
Well, we'll be voting to substitute 10 as the motion. So, in other words, voting to amend. So that's what we will vote on. I'm looking at section 5, page 37. It's the sort of full budget. And I see even without this increase, with what the county administrator added, they're up $25,000 from last year. I mean, I know it's a small budget, and I know the staff are not paid well at all, you know, but it's just such a tug of war, I think, with, you know, between what we raise in taxes and you know, what agencies have to deal with. I would love it if we could fund their whole request, but I feel like we just have to be more constrained in that, and I think with this extra $10,000, I think that will bring them, you know, up over all the other numbers on this page, going back before, at least before 2010. So, I think that's in this climate, that's doing okay.
Frank,
thanks, Jim. Martha, you drew attention to part of what I was going to ask. The county administrator has already recommended $25,000 of the OTR. The OTR requested was almost $69,000. Debbie, I thought I saw you get up and head for the mic. Oh, good. May I ask Debbie a question? At one time, there was an effort, a fundraising effort for OAR. Can you bring us up to date on what the status of that is?
We do an annual fundraising drive each November after the United Way's ends. We do ours since we're a United Way agency, and it's a direct mail appeal. We also do the Ithaca Alternative Gift Fair, as many other not-for-profits do here. And we raise approximately $6,000 to $8,000 through those appeals each year fundraising. The only other thing I would like to say is the $25,000 that the county administrator recommended, which we're deeply appreciative of, only maintains the status quo for OAR, because to keep our staff at 3.6 for 2012, OAR depleted its modest reserve fund that was built through one-time state funding to keep 3.6 staff. So what it does is the $25,000 allows us to maintain the 3.6 staff that we have currently, even with the 26% increase in caseload in the last year.
Thanks.
I have Levlin, and then back to Peter.
Dooley, I've lost my train of thought.
Well, can I go to Peter and come back to you?
Sure.
Peter.
Yeah, just to answer Martha, OAR has been living off its savings. That they have not, they were not funded for that. They were paying literally their operating costs out of their savings, and now they have no more savings. So that if the county administrator had not given them the funds that he did give them, they would have to reduce the operation, and the operation is not, I believe, sufficiently funded anymore. So I feel that it is sort of, in some sense, fallen below what is the minimum respectable budget for the services that they have been providing. And I think these people are, as I say, I think these people are underpaid compared to people that do the same thing. And they have no place else to turn. They try their best at the fundraising appeal, but it does not bring in very much money. And I think each one of the things that are in there, that I mentioned, 1, 2, 3, and 4, a director ought to have health benefits. People ought to have a 2% wage increase on extremely low wages in 3 years. And they ought to be able, the people that don't have enough time to provide the services that they're supposed to provide because they have to keep track of the paperwork, it would be better served if we had somebody to keep track of the paperwork so that they can provide them. And that's what makes up the $15,000.
So Levlin.
That's why I oppose Leslin's motion.
Levlin.
So I, are you challenging me? So Pam, I hear you. You know, I've worked with this organization and I know the extent of the work. And I would love to give OAR $100,000. But like most of you, I hope, I look at this budget very carefully. I listen to what people say when they come for their presentations and make my notes and think about what I can afford to add and where I can have some commensurate cuts. Dooley said to me the other day, well, if you're going to add, where are you going to cut? You know, and thinking where I can have some commensurate cuts. I'm not trying to add bigger money than I can afford to find cuts, because I know everybody else is struggling with their budget. And that's why I thought this was a modest enough amount of money that, you know, would help a little bit and wouldn't make me then try to find out where I'm going to find a bigger amount of money to cut. So that's sort of the reasoning behind some of the proposals that I have here, in addition to just thinking what are the priorities that could be funded and can this money, from in my eyes, fund that.
Anyone else?
Just to indicate that I was looking hard at OAR because I think they do really important work for us.
Yeah.
I asked the director how much it would cost to get them all up to 40 hours a week and then give them a 2% raise since they've had nothing for several years. And that was $40,000. And that's what I would like to do. So for me, supporting Peter's $15,000 is pretty basic. And so I'm in a different place.
Anyone else? What we are voting on at this point is a $10,000 request, an amendment to the $15,000. All in favor of the
It's a substitute.
No, it's an amendment.
Yeah, but it substitute. It takes out 15 and puts in 10. Yeah. Okay. All right. I just thought it wasn't clear.
I'm glad someone's listening. All in favor of the amendment, which is now $10,000. Please raise your hand. I have 1, 2, 3. Opposed. And that should add up to 9. So that fails. 3-9. Or 9-3. Now, the original amendment, amendment was for 15,000 out of target. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Are we ready to vote on that? All in favor of adding 15,000 to target for OAR, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. Opposed? All the rest. That would be 8. That fails. Marsha, you have that right? 8-4. Thank you. Yes. Well,
what was the vote on the amendment?
Yeah, 3-9.
On the 10,000?
Yeah,
3-9.
3-9.
Okay. So, for example, I would be prepared, I voted against that, but I would be prepared to support
right.
that.
So we could move it again.
Yeah.
As I voted against it, so I would like to move amending it to $10,000.
Is there a second? Will?
Yeah.
We don't need any more discussion.
Yeah.
We have an amendment for $10,000 target OAR. All in favor, signify by raising your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It failed. Robertson Kiefer, McBean Claiborne, mental health, psychiatric social worker. This is new. It is for $46,205 to target. And someone want to move it? Martha?
I would move that for to hire a psychiatric social worker in the net with counting income, counting fringes, and counting revenue from the position is $46,205.
Is there a second? Frank is the second. Discussion. Here we go around the room. Pam, Mike, Martha, Brian.
Okay, I'm a little puzzled by this because I felt that our mental health commissioner said that at this particular point they weren't interested in increasing their staff until they had a chance to assess what they had and how they were organized, and so they expected to go through some sort of reorganization. So I don't think I can support this unless I hear more differently, because the commissioner was, that seemed pretty clear from what she said.
Mike.
Martha, is it my understanding that if this passes that this is actually half of the amount for the position, that there would be revenue that would be generated from grants for the rest?
Good.
Yeah, that's right. Correct. I thought I would get a chance to speak to my motion.
You will. After he asked you are on the list next.
Yes, that's right. And I hope everybody
to do that when you made it.
I hope everybody got the description that was sent, I think, last week. And
mm-hmm.
Okay. And maybe Sue can talk about it. And then I'd like to speak after she's on.
Yeah.
I would just say that it is true that I am still in the process of assessing where the mental health clinic is and what the needs are. So what you said about me in the being in that process is true. Some of what's come out over the past couple of months is that sometimes the clinical needs are come out a little bit slower than other needs in the agency, which may come out and be very clear right at the top. And the reason for that is that the clinics tend to adjust to what they have to work with. So one of the things that we're finding is that our intakes, where the industry standard really is we should be seeing people on the same day or within the same week, we are scheduling our initial diagnostic assessments out 4 to 6 weeks. The other thing that's harder to quantify, I wish I could give hard numbers to this, it really is more anecdotal, is that, okay, so you bring people in the door, and then what do you do with them? And part of what's happening is that people come in with a need for to be seen more frequently, but because of our limitations right now, instead of being seen weekly when they're in a crisis or when they're having acute symptomology of a mental illness, they might be seen every other week or once a month or once every couple of months. And that's a harder, that doesn't come out right at the beginning. So some of the, it's a trickle-down thing right now. Over the last few years, the clinic has lost 2.5 clinical people, and what's happened with that is that the intake time has stretched out, and the frequency of our ability to provide therapeutic interventions has also been stretched out. In addition to that, as I've talked about, with all of the changes in the system, there's more and more people who are being discharged from the hospitals who are less stable than they were before. And when it comes to the people who are the most vulnerable in terms of the most serious mental illness, they really are the ones who are referred to the mental health clinic. There are two licensed Medicaid clinics in the county, but when it comes to the people who are the most severely ill, they come to our clinic. Or the people who have no ability to pay, they would come to our clinic.
So could I have a follow-up to that? Because that
sure,
was sort of
ahead.
In response to what
go
I
ahead.
Said. Thank you. So I guess I don't think that we doubted that, you know, that there are issues there, and that, you know, that you said in your original presentation that there were some real gaps. But what I heard you say then, and perhaps that has changed, I guess that's what I'm asking you. Has that changed? I mean, are you at this point, you know, feel as if you have the assessment done that you needed to have to say that, yes, this is the person, this is the position that we want to take, hire?
As I said, it's an ongoing assessment, and I think that the needs that we have laid out are needs within the agency. So, yes, I do believe that that the agency does need another clinical person, and we certainly would make good use of that position.
Thank you.
I have Frank.
I'm sorry. Can I speak to my resolution?
Martha, maybe you're going to speak to what I'm going to ask. Can you describe the reimbursement piece as part of your... I don't have that memo with me. I'm sorry.
If you would like me to, I can.
Go ahead, Sue. Yeah, and then I'd like to speak.
I have... Yeah.
Usually the person making the motion introduces it.
Well, we changed the rules.
Just for you,
Martha. Did someone else introduce the motion? Not you?
Nobody introduced it.
Martha did.
You moved it and I seconded it.
I didn't get to say anything about it.
That's okay.
Am I on the list?
Yeah, you know, you've never been accused of not talking, so.
Whoa.
Go ahead.
Throw down the gauntlet.
I have you, Peter.
Sue was asked about the reimbursement.
Yeah. Okay.
So basically, we are a revenue-generating agency, so we collect funds through Medicaid, third-party insurance, and self-pay. So part of this position would be funded through that billing mechanism.
Martha, do you want to?
My turn?
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you.
You forgot what you were going to ask.
No, I didn't. I am, when Joe introduced the budget to us in September, he talked about cracks and fissures. And I think this is another one. I think there are four positions that he added to our, you know, to our roster. I think this is one that's desperately needed. If you look at page section 4, page 252, you see the whole list of staff. And, Sue, I guess I don't know. You say you've lost 2.5 clinical people. I see from 2009 that you've lost 13 people altogether. And when I look at the job titles, and I think I asked you this one during your presentation, if I'm looking at the clinical job titles, nurse practitioners, such, you know, caseworkers, et cetera, the clinical people, it looks like 12.5 of those 13 positions were clinical people. Now, this is a health and safety issue. It's a public safety issue. We have just seen some terrible things happen in the last year in this country by people who, it seems, they say somebody should have caught that, you know, should have noticed that person was on the edge. Somebody should have, why didn't anybody help that person? There's just no, obviously we can't do everything we want. I just feel passionately that this is one that, when I hear that we're seeing that community individuals may be waiting for a period of 4 to 6 weeks after their initial call requesting services, and we used to see them right away, and in addition, they're scheduling appointments less frequently once somebody's admitted. They're not getting seen once a week. They'll get seen every other week or less, as Sue said, just to adjust. You handle your caseload and you figure it out. I just think that the people who aren't being seen, who aren't getting these services, talk about vulnerable people. I mean, this is, and unfortunately not just vulnerable to themselves, but then creating a dangerous situation for their families and for the whole community. I just, when I looked at this roster and I saw that it's gone down by 13 full-time equivalents in just 4 years, this was a red flag to me, and I really feel strongly that this is something that you could put it in terms of cost effectiveness, how many people, if somebody gets their treatment that they need, they don't go into the hospital, they don't hurt other people. I don't think we have dollars and cents to tabulate that. I just think this is a real basic way of taking care of our people.
I'm going to wrap myself in here. Susan, I have a question. In the run-up to the September 1st budget with the county administrator, was this something you talked about with him, this position?
Not this one per se, but we had talked about a clinical position.
Okay. Secondly, I am not going to support this. And the reason I'm not going to support this is that, in a sense, we are adding a position to a department that the department head did not ask for. And I guess I am fundamentally opposed to that at this point. I think what the department needs to do is spend some time, make some evaluation, and then come back and ask for this position at another time. Clearly, we have funded this particular department many years at a fairly decent clip, and we are willing to do that again. But I think at this point, a new position is not called for. Interestingly enough, Martha, you brought up, and I don't want to refer to your comment too much, but when the county administrator talked about fissures in our budget, I did not hear this as one of those things. And I applaud the fact that you're bringing it up, but I am not supporting it this time. Peter, you're next. Loslyn.
Well, actually what Jim said was what I was pretty much going to say. I think that my position here is I don't know a whole lot about most departments. There are some departments that I know a lot about, but this is not one of them. I know essentially nothing about it.
its problems, what it needs, what its funding should be, what its position should be, and I rely on the department head to make a presentation that makes me think, okay, this is worth increasing the tax rate for to fund this position. But I didn't hear that, and it's not enough to say yes, you agree. I mean, if I were a department head and I hadn't asked for a position and somebody else did, then I would say, yeah, sure, that would be a good thing to have. I can't imagine it's a bad thing. But nonetheless, it doesn't seem to me to be the right relationship between the department and a legislator to make a decision to give more money for it. So I will vote the same way.
If I can just remind you that I was hired 1 month before the budget was due.
I'm not criticizing you. I'm just saying.
We certainly know that. I have Leslyn, Dooley, Brian, Will, Martha.
Jim, I find very interesting your fundamental opposition to putting a position into a department they did not ask for. This is not a new concept, you know. This has been tried before. It's been done before. I heard a department head in her presentation talk about such a delay in services because of a lack of not having the clinical workers, that it raised red flags for me. And yes, I believe that it is my business as a policymaker to hear those things and decide that our policy should not be about letting the vulnerable people out in this community and people who could be a danger to themselves and to others and the community as a whole not get the services that they need. So for me, that's a policy decision, which led me to this point. I walked out of here. I made a note to myself, as a matter of fact, with OMG. This is not acceptable. Earlier this year, just last year, you know, there's been so much going on. We've had our law enforcement engaged in situations with members of our mental health community that ended up with people being dead. We're talking about people who need services, and we're talking about folks who are, I don't want to say waiting lists, because Susan warned us that's not the right word.
No.
Who are receiving services at a way delayed time than they should be. And so I felt, like Martha, pretty passionate about adding money to this budget for a clinical worker. And it seemed to me that the most appropriate one at that point was the psychiatric social worker, and that's why I was going with this. I walked out of here that night with that as a note to myself. So I'm hoping that others will see this as well and think about some of the experiences we've had even in our community and the need for this position at the mental health unit.
Dooley?
Jim, I understand that it would be lovely if we could just get presentations from department heads and nothing changed between when they first gave their information to the county administrator and now that we're at a point of voting on changes. But what I understood when the mental health commissioner first appeared before us was that she's getting up to speed as fast as she can, she's assessing things as fast as she can, but she certainly wasn't here when the budget had to be put together. She wasn't on top of her position. She was brand new, and I'm glad she mentioned that just a little while ago. I assess things very similarly to the way Leslyn just did, and it's our responsibility to pay attention to these changing things and act accordingly. It's just bad timing that the mental health department was in flux at the time the budget had to be prepared. And I don't think that clients should be punished for another year because of that. I would like to see us add this position, which is partly covered by revenues, because it's something we really need.
I have Brian, Will.
Thanks. At the time of your presentation, I did hear you say, you know, rightfully so, that you're in the process of evaluation, and you identified this delay in not a waiting list delay, but that it was kind of rectifying itself because somebody was coming back from maternity leave, and unless I'm getting you mixed up with another some sort of leave.
Actually, somebody went out on maternity leave.
Okay. Well, let me finish first, and then, of course, respond. I also heard you say then that you were, and what I expected in a new position was you were looking into more of a central reception, something to take the burden off the clinicians so that they could spend more time doing, you know, seeing patients.
And certainly that is part of the plan, is to continue with the original plan, which is to separate out the non-clinical from the clinical functions. I'm not sure that that addresses all of the need.
Okay.
I have Will, and then myself.
So Leslin and Dooley have said much of what I wanted, but I just wanted to be clear from Susan. If you were forming your budget recommendation today, based on what's happened, would you be strongly supporting this position?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Originally, when I heard about this position being suggested by Martha, we heard about a two-week waiting time or delay. It is now 4 weeks.
I mean, no, I think what you would have heard is that historically we would have had people would wait up to 1 to 2 weeks for their initial appointment. Now we're closer to 4 to 6 weeks.
Okay. Martha?
I think Dooley said it well, that the clients shouldn't be sort of penalized because of the accident of when Sue started here. I mean, I can totally imagine the situation. Betsy pulling together, you know, holding life and limb together over there and kind of saying, okay, let's just status quo, let's be careful, let's be modest, let's, you know, even if there are sort of danger signs on the horizon, and Sue coming in and says, you've handled it, you put it together, awesome, that's great, you know, with no sense that, you know, after a week or two or three that she could make a different judgment. But I think that And honestly, coming from a different county, there might be a real culture of just keep your head down and don't ask for anything. I mean, you know, you don't have to say anything, Sue, but, you know, I like to think that we're a county that responds when we see cracks and fissures. And I got to say, you know, if I hadn't seen this roster that showed the trend of so many cuts, and clinical cuts, and not, you know, I wouldn't be jumping on this.
Anyone else? Are we ready to vote on this? All in favor of the addition of, let me see, mental health, psychiatric social worker, 46205 to the target. Please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4. Somebody missing?
Frank. Did Frank?
Oh, are you opposed or four?
No, four.
Oh, sorry.
I wanted to change my perspective.
Okay, let me do the four. Let me do the four again. All in favor of adding the position, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Does that pass?
Yes.
Thank you.
Whoa. 8-4 is a tie.
Not bad.
I thought so. I thought it was a tie.
Yeah. I would like to, if I can, if I'm able to, I want to have Arel. I want to look at Arel's items while he is here. And let me, Kevin. Is the one in here for adding money to?
That's
There's one for Adam Cleaner.
Right.
It's currently second Thursday, so we need to state that.
Yeah, we're going to pull this one out of Thursday. It's Attic Cleaner, mm-hmm. The Attic Cleaner one, and the other?
The other one is a Carol Chalk has asked that somebody try to bring this as a motion. She can't be here tonight, and due to open meeting laws, she's not even allowed to present it to the group.
Oh,
so
I see. Okay.
If, when we get to it, I can try to explain what she's looking to do.
Okay, here we go. Someone want to? It's let's do the Keeper McBean Claiborne at a cleaner. Someone want to move it?
Yes.
Julie moved it. Leslin second. Discussion.
You may recall the amazing colored charts that Arel showed us. They were hard to read up on the screen. They had so much detail on. But what was very clear is that we've added a lot more square footage and we haven't added cleaners. They are stretched very thin, and unless we never look at our surroundings, you might not know that, but we all do look at our surroundings, and they need more bodies. They could use two or three people, but I'm moving one to help this process along.
Anyone else? Want to talk about this?
I just want to ditto what Dooley says, and for some strange reason, it seems to me that facilities never is able to keep up with what we add to facilities, or the monies that we give to facilities don't seem to keep up with what we add to facilities. So there's always lots of deferred maintenance that facilities has to take care of, and we're trying to play catch-up year after year. And I feel the same way about the cleaning of our facility and having that few cleaners, and we keep adding more and more buildings for them to take care of, just seems, or simply put, just really unfair.
Oh, Martha.
This is what you just said about the mental health position, that person that the department head didn't ask for this. I don't see any OTR for this.
No.
So I really hope we can get the assistant we've been trying to get for Arel. That's like way overdue. I'm afraid I'm not going to support this.
Anyone else? I will make comment. I will not support this at this time for the obvious reason that I said earlier. And, I'm sorry that it goes like that, but I would clearly look at it as we go down the road. So anyone else? Dooley?
Well, Arel is nothing if not a team player, and he has not pushed for things he's needed for a long time. I think it's incumbent upon us to recognize that and move things when we think it's really needed, and this is really obvious.
Anyone else?
May I just add, I also feel so often that the people who are at the lower rounds with employers are the ones who often get looked over and, my words, in some respects taken advantage of, and that's how I feel about this. So,
anyone else? Are you ready to vote on this? All in favor, please raise your hand to let me be clear on this. We are adding a cleaner to facilities to Target at a cost of $50,719. All in favor, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Opposed?
Peter left the room.
Who left?
Peter's outside.
Well, it's 5 against and 6-4. So, Peter, do you want to vote on that facilities item?
No.
You're a no?
Yes, I do want to vote no.
You want to vote no. So it's now a tie.
5.
I don't know what happened.
Doesn't pass.
Fails. Flip it going?
No, we can revisit it, though.
Yeah, we can revisit.
Goody, goody.
Arel may not be here when we revisit, but do you want to go to the microphone, please? Welcome back, by the way.
Hi. Good to be here. I won't turn down, you know, this motion, but I did want to clarify the amount should be lower. It's a 35-hour position, and it should be $39,000.
It's salary and fringe.
Salary and fringe. So that it should be a lower number. If it's, I think the base rate's like 23, 24, and with fringe. But just to give some background, we have not increased our cleaning staff since 2000, so about 12, 13 years. And that was when we added the new library. Since then, we've added 4 buildings and added 102,000 square feet. The first one was mental health. We had Challenge Industries cleaning that, and we had some budget challenges back in, I think it was 2003 or so. So we eliminated that contract and basically covered that building with existing staff. We pulled cleaners from other buildings. When we brought on the Emergency Response Center, now the Human Services Annex building that goes into operation hopefully by the end of this year, the Public Works facility when we did the addition back in 2003. So 102,000 square feet that we've covered with existing staff. Now, in my presentation, I said I wasn't asking for that, but if you're willing to consider it, I'm not going to turn it down. But I did want to say that in the very near future, most likely 2014, it will be something that will be included in my budget, just so that you know that.
Thank you for that. Anyone else? Brian, go ahead.
Hey, hang on, Ralph. I appreciate the amount of square footage per person, how it's gone up since 2000. Can I just ask you, and I'm not joking around, technology? And I'll tell you why I ask. I actually, when I was in college, used to do this kind of work. And it was a mop and a bucket, and it wasn't a lot of fun.
Right.
Or a lot of money. Now I go and, like, up at the hospital, and you see somebody walking behind something, and the floors are beautiful, and there isn't much effort there, and they can do a lot of space in a long time. Now I would imagine that piece of equipment's fairly expensive.
Right.
Where are we in that spectrum?
We're in between, actually, is in order to accommodate the not having the staff. I've looking at technology, better equipment to cover more. So when we brought on actually the library, we got equipment similar to that, smaller, because we don't have very large open areas to do that. The carpet extractors and doing resilient floors like VCT tile that we do at the health department. The problem is that we don't have large open areas like hospitals and big wide hallways. So we can do that to a limited amount, but a lot of it is, you know, vacuuming, you know, individual offices and mops and bathrooms. But we are pushing to improve the type of equipment that we have so that it can be more effective and efficient and covering more area with less people. So, yeah, we're trying to do both. Usually the way we cover that is in a capital project. We include equipment as part of the capital project to allow us to better clean the facilities.
Thank you.
Any other comments? Julie?
Well, I know we can revisit this. I wonder if we should revisit it now since we've heard Arel.
Usually, how do we do that? Can you you can make a motion to revisit if you'd like. Are you doing that, Julie?
I guess I am.
What?
It would be whatever dollar amount.
What was the dollar amount you said before?
39,000.
It would be the dollar amount that Arel mentioned, which I think is different from what's in here.
Yeah. So I'll move to. Oh, did you do it already?
You can. It's your turn.
I'll move to revisit the adding a cleaner to the facilities department, dollar amount being 39 somebody.
Is that 39 include the fringe?
Yes.
Okay.
39 flat?
23.
39 flat?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's 39 and change.
That's right. My motion.
Okay. Who's the seconder? David. All right. Any more discussion? All in favor of Frank? Are you voting or?
Yeah. I'm anticipating your.
Oh, you're anticipating. Oh. All in favor of adding this position at 39 and change, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Opposed?
What a group.
I see the same 6. 6 to 6. It's a revisit as we fill out our seats here for the budget. Let me do the other one.
You have something else for facilities?
Yes.
Yes?
Carol wanted me to bring something up.
Also. Okay, that's the one that we're going to be looking at?
Have you spoken to her about what she was requesting?
It is new. It is an increase in the salary for assistant director of facilities with specific knowledge / expertise in green building. Julie, you going to move that?
Yes, I'll try to explain it.
Okay. Second. Is there a second? Mike?
I'll second for discussion. I did talk with Carol about it today.
Okay.
And sorry, Mike can second it because I had this conversation.
All right. Julie and Mike. Go ahead, Julie.
So there has been an initial hiring round, looking at people to fill it, and there has not been a great response. This is an engineering position. It's not clear that the salary is where it ought to be. And Carol, in her forward-looking way, thought that if you could get not just any old engineer, such as but get one who actually understood green building certification, the kinds of things you needed to do, that kind of additional help for AREL would be very appropriate. I told Carol I wasn't sure this needed to be part of this budget process because I think we already have a hiring process in motion. And this will certainly come back to facilities and infrastructure as a topic of discussion, but it seemed at least sensible, since it's clearly budget-related, to mention it here tonight while AREL was here so that he could know what Carol was thinking, because I'm not sure that Carol and AREL have made contact over this. But Mike, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I wanted to speak.
Yes, please do. Oh. I'm turning it over to you.
What I'd really like to do is hear from AREL and Joe on this. This is new to me today, and I don't know, particularly this expertise in green building. I'm not sure where the search is and whether or not it's appropriate to do this.
We'll go with Joe first and then AREL.
And I have talked to Carol about this, as has AREL, so Carol knows my thoughts about this. I don't think anybody would dispute her good intentions in putting this forward, but I think whenever we talk about reclassifying a job title within this government, we have to be very careful and deliberative about that. Years ago, a pay equity study was done to make sure that positions are classified appropriately and relative to other positions within the county structure. And as we think about reclassifying, I don't think the budget is a good place to do that. I think it has to be a careful process where you consider kind of how this position ranks relative to other positions. Right now, just so you know, the number 2 position in facilities is paid at the same rate as the head of COFA, the head of youth services, the head of the Workforce Investment Board. So I think as we think about, you know, is there a change that would be appropriate in this title, it's a good conversation to have. But I don't think this is the right place to do it. I think that should be deferred until we can really give careful thought to how we want to classify that position.
I have Martha and Dooley.
Thanks, Joe. I think that makes a lot of sense. The idea that this position already at this point in the salary that's offered right now before this addition is at the same level as as COFA and Workforce Investment and youth. So this addition would put it over those 3 department heads. I would really like to see the new search go forward. Let's see how we do, a second time around. I think it's something that if we take the time and personnel gets, really does their thing on reclassifying, we sort of see that, let's say we don't get any good candidates, then we take another look at it. And if we have to re-advertise with a higher salary and a different job description, then that's the appropriate way to go about doing that. And we could, if we had to put part of a year, some increment in the salary to get that person, we could pull that out of the contingent fund if that were deemed to be necessary later in 2013.
Dooley?
Yes, I think it's misleading and unfortunate comparison to compare an assistant director or whatever the title is to a department head in a totally different field. I wish human service workers had the same salaries as engineers had, but they don't. Engineers cost us more. So it will be talked about at F&I, I'm sure. And I warned Carol that that's, in my view, that's where it belongs. It doesn't really belong in the budget process. On the other hand, Arel is here tonight, and it's not unrelated to the budget, so I think it's reasonable to let you all know some of the things that are under discussion.
I agree that I think it would be... I think we need to go through the process and reclassify the job if it needs be. We have a process for that. All of you are aware of it, and it makes it... I think it would lend credence to when, if you did reclassify, it would lend credence to what you want to do or not. But at least you have to let this go through the process. I have Mike.
I didn't fully get the answers to my question, and that, can you tell me where the search is? I know we didn't get a lot of applicants. Have we exhausted where we want to go? Are we going to re-advertise? Or do you want to, or are we going to recommend a reclassification, for example?
Well, we had a fairly shallow pool of applicants. I don't know that Arellis had a chance to interview those that are on the list, but again, it's only a handful. So as we think about it, we are thinking about potentially re-advertising for the position. So if we were to do that, it's a perfect break point over the next few months to be talking about, do we have this place at the right step of the career ladder, or the pay ladder within the county. The other thing, Mike, I realized after I stopped talking, you'd also ask a question about the lead element of what Carol had talked about and how often that is really relevant. Arel is here. He can speak to it more directly than I, but it really is relevant when we talk about new construction. So, for example, the Carpet Bazaar building, we had talked about that being LEED certified. We have chosen instead to build it to LEED standards without certification because there is an incremental cost that goes along with that. And that cost occurs, again, when we do new things. Now, as we look forward, we don't see a long agenda of new construction in the county. So I don't know that there's going to be a great and constant demand for that kind of skill on staff. But again, Arel is here. He might be able to speak more directly to that than I. But that's my take.
Are we in agreement here?
Yeah, I received a phone call from Carol yesterday afternoon, and so it took me by surprise that she was going to propose this motion. And I basically responded similar to what Joe just told you, that if we had a much more aggressive capital program, one large project a year, I could see having an individual with that background in our organization. However, we've fared pretty well in the last several years with having the consultants take the lead as far as LEED design and sustainable green design. I have a little bit of a background, just experience in having worked on several projects of what would be required, and also my training in the building code. So I told Carol that I didn't see that it made sense at this point in time to create a new position or hire a person with almost full-time responsibility for that. But I did indicate that
One possibility is that we added some of those responsibilities in the assistant director position. However, I agree with Joe that this is probably not the forum to look at that, that as part of kind of the recruitment effort. We may be able to work things into the job description that may affect the labor grade, or it may not. But I think what I'd like to do is basically move forward with trying to recruit for that position and see what we end up with. We may be lucky to have an engineer that has the certification in lead design, which would be a plus. But honestly, we're not doing that many projects at this point. We've got two already underway, the Human Services Annex that should be completed mid-December, and then the legislature relocation, which hopefully will go out to bid in the next month. Aside from that, we don't have anything definite planned in the next year or two, unfortunately, although I love to see new projects. But so that's basically my input as far as this motion is concerned.
Thank you, Aurel. Brian?
Yeah, it just sounds like we were on the right track before this. And to Aurel, it really must be nice. Is this like your birthday or something? Because we're trying to shower you with all these gifts.
So I'd like to withdraw the motion. It was just you wanted us to make motions, so I made a motion.
Okay. It's withdrawn. The seconder agrees?
Yes.
Okay. Aurel, I think you're done. Thank you so much for coming. Appreciate it. You know, it's like you went out with nothing and a tie. You know, it's like a soccer. It's like a soccer game. Okay. Let's get back to this. Probation. I'm guessing. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Stein.
Yeah, I move it.
You want to say what we're moving, or do you want me to?
Get it, Peter. Well, I'm moving an OTR for $87,111 to add a probation officer.
This is a new position, right?
It's a new position.
Okay. Is there a second to Peter's motion?
Sure, I'll second it.
Loveland, okay. Peter?
So very briefly, when I learned what the caseload was of probation officers, namely upwards of 100 clients that they were responsible for, and with my background as a teacher at Cornell, knowing just how hard it was to keep track of 35 students if you wanted to teach them all individually, even though you had them together for a whole semester, I was amazed that anyone could do that job with that number of clients. And so I supported that with enthusiasm when that request was made. But I prefer Pat Buchel to justify it.
Thank you, Peter. You all should have in front of you a summary of my budget presentation that I did. And I need to clarify something. What I'm seeking today is an amended OTR. The original OTR was for a probation officer position.
Oh, right. Sorry.
That's right. At $87,000. And what I'm actually requesting is a probation assistant position, which has a net local cost of $67,370. So it's almost $20,000 less than the original OTR.
Everyone have that? It was on your desk. So, Peter, you're moving.
Amend the motion.
Yeah, you want to amend the motion?
Yes, please. I amend the motion to be for a probation assistant that would cost $67,370.
And the seconder, are you still with him?
Yes.
Okay. Any more comments on this? Will.
More of a question, Jim. Pat, I have a sort of memory. I remember you explaining sort of the rationale for why this was important and why it would make you had restructured the way you operated, and this allowed you
Correct.
To do something and to not fund this would force you to go back to a less efficient mode. But I also have been told that this was a sort of essentially a one-year experiment, and your anticipation was that you would be able to cover this internally from staff. Have I heard that correctly, or was this?
I think what you're referring to is that the current position, which is job shared by two part-time probation officers, was approved for one-time funding by the county administrator, and it ends December 31st of this year. Is that what you're referring to?
So is that a different?
No, it was a one-time position.
Yeah.
Okay. The time.
Yeah. So I'm seeking to continue with the position, but with a probation assistant, not a probation officer. I would like to be able to have a maintenance of effort within the department. And I believe that the probation assistant title can satisfactorily supervise this low-risk caseload of approximately 100 people. The reason why I believe that is that we have a new supervision rule that's coming out, actually comes into effect in June of 2013. And that has, and again, the supervision rule refers to how we supervise people, how often we have to see them, how many times we have to see them in our offices, how many collateral contacts we have to make, how many home visits we have to make. And for the low-risk population, OPCA, who developed the new rule, is really relying on best practices and the research, which says that the low-risk population can be supervised larger caseloads to a smaller amount of staff. And the probation assistant title, I believe, because this is a low-risk caseload and because we now have a year and a half under our belt where we did reorganize the department to make this large low-risk caseload, we've seen positive high compliance, low recidivism, and low violation rates. So because of the new supervision rule, which has redefined how we can how often we have to see the low-risk caseload, I think the probation assistant title fits that population better.
Thank you, Pat.
Anyone else? Peter?
Yeah, I'd just like to remind people that if we turn this down, the calculation I made is that the caseload will be like 120, which is a whole lot of people to keep track of.
Anyone else? Martha?
Well, again, I wish we could do everything, but I'm not going to support this tonight. Pat, if this were a half-time position instead, is there any way that makes sense?
Would it be, are you talking a half-time probation officer position or a half-time
probation assistant? You've got a 67,000 position with fringe. If it were 33.6 and a half-time position,
Of course, it would help. I guess I would have to think about how I would structure. But anything would help, yes, because right now I'm dealing with how am I going to reassign these 100 cases. Yeah.
Okay. Let me remind you, it's written across the bottom of your sheet. The half-time positions are eligible for full health benefits.
Yes.
Therefore, the total fringe benefit rate is greater. I have Frank and then Brian.
Pat, two questions. Is there any state, are you able to parlay this at the state level at all and get any reimbursement at all?
Our state aid was converted to a block grant, so we now get like a sum of money. So it's really not dependent on how many staff we have anymore. We used to get 12%. 13% reimbursement rate for each staff person, but now it's converted to a block grant, so they just give us a sum of money. So
okay.
Our sum of money has been
it's given fixed.
Us, then it's not going to, depending on what happens here, it's not.
Well, the other question is, Peter put this in as a target increase. Since we've been doing this both on a part-time basis and the county administrator didn't recommend it as target, could you accomplish this with a one-time?
Well, the caseload's not going to go away, and
you're going to do
it's
going to
continue.
Job.
So the department is still going to have the need to have these cases covered. Target actually is preferred. Otherwise, next year I'm going to be back here with the same request. Does that, that make sense?
Frank, may I remind you the county administrator didn't recommend it at all.
Didn't recommend it.
That at
was,
all.
That was going to be a question I wanted to ask Joe. Is that, he's conferring.
Joe.
I'm sorry.
Joe, this particular request didn't meet your scrutiny at all. Is there, I mean, Pat is indicating that there really is a need with the caseload. Is
right.
there?
Well, I guess two things, and I think I said them both during the budget presentation. The first is the understanding last year was, as other departments were experiencing cuts in their rosters, we agreed that we would give probation a year to kind of transition to a smaller roster. I think they did take a cut last year. You might have been down by one. This would have been two. So we agreed to a one-year transition to the smaller roster. So that was the understanding. Come 2013, that position would go away. So that was number one. And what was number? I've lost my train of thought on number two. But that was basically the...
Thanks.
The reason. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Brian?
I think it was answered that going to halftime isn't half of that figure. It's actually
right.
Could get more than that.
Any other questions for Pat or anyone? Are you ready to vote on this? We are now. Let me. I have probation assistant at 67370 to target. All in favor, please raise your hand. 1, 2. Opposed? Everyone else. Did you vote, Dave?
What?
It's 2-4 and...
1-4. I voted no.
No wait. You voted... all in favor of this request, please raise your hand. It's 1, 2, 3 opposed to this request. Please raise your hand. So it's 3-9. Thank you very much. We're back to me. It's new. It's for Soil Water Conservation District. It is the increase to the rent agreement of $570, and I will move that and explain why.
Second.
Is there a second? It was inadvertently left out of the budget, the $570, because of the rent increase. Kevin, am I right, or even
you're
close
right.
to being right?
That's it.
Okay, anyone else? Go ahead.
Need a second.
Oh, second. I'm sorry. I seconded it myself.
I think given the small amount of money, we should talk about this at least 10 minutes.
Right. Okay, who's first? You?
I just wanted to check.
Okay. Thanks.
All in favor of this, please raise your hand.
Call the question.
Can we make it one time?
No, because it's a house or something. All in favor, please put your hand up. Opposed, Penny? That's a 12-0. Okay, thank you. The next one is airport expenditure and revenue shift, no local money, but I need a resolution, and I will move it. Someone want to second it? Frank seconds it. Kevin, you want to explain this?
Sure. I got an email from Roxanne Noble over in the airport saying that they've had a few changes in their budget, and I told her that formality, you know, we submitted a budget that had, certain numbers in there, and I needed to just get an approval from you guys. Basically, they have reduced their expenditures and their revenues. Part of it was, and Bob did say it when he did his presentation, TSA has cut back some of their revenues that they received, so they've had to figure out how to adjust for that. They also had one staff member resign, so they'll be bringing on a trainee. They cost a little less. So, again, their expenditures dropped about $40,000, so their revenues also dropped $40,000. I can go through them each individual if you want, but it's not.
So, essentially, it's a wash.
It's a complete wash, yeah. There's no local component to it.
Pam, you had your hand up.
I did. I guess that in general, I would really rather have something in front of us to look at on these things. I mean,
I'll forward the email right now.
I have no doubt in terms of what you're saying, but I think it is a good policy for us to actually be looking at these things.
Anyone else? Julie, you agree with Pam on that one?
I do.
Okay, that's good. Anyone else? All in favor, please raise your hand. We're voting on that switch.
Okay.
All right. Opposed, thank you. It's 12-0. Now, let me, I have Chalk New Planning, Bring Restoration Hours, 20K.
You have OIR.
Bail Fund.
Bail Fund, that's a different resolution. Chalk.
It's a different one. Oh, sorry. Who's going to move that?
Well, I'll move it.
I'll second it.
It's adding 15K to the bail fund.
Right.
All right. Comments? We'll start with Peter and Martha.
Debbie's
I'm sorry?
Yeah, I will vote against this. I don't think it's the right way to maintain the bail fund. The bail fund has got a natural attrition to it, and it has to be, when it gets close to the bottom, then we have to refill it, and I don't see any reason for refilling it before it's at that point.
Anyone else around the room? Martha Bryan.
I was hoping to get a report on, like, the last couple of years' worth of additions to the bail fund. Kathy, do you know?
What is it you want, Martha?
When have we made the last? You're right. We do kind of do these one-off things as the fund drops down.
Right, but
so,
it's not predictable. Okay.
Right.
When
so
it
I
gets
was just
to
wondering.
Point,
I was wondering when the last you know the timing of the last three or four contributions, but maybe we can get that later.
I don't remember.
In answer to your question, Martha, the last one I remember was last year. It was like $10,000. And it's good for us to hear that and make that request then. I will say that in a perfect world, there should never be any loss of this money, but some things do happen. And there's a new initiative. I was just talking with Debbie today that may bear some pretty good fruit, and it has to do with let me just say there's a new legal initiative that may take care of a lot of this.
Julie?
This is really not new. Bail fund money was included in the original OTR,
right.
So it should be identified as part of that number, whatever that was.
Anyone else?
And what I remember Debbie saying was how low the bail fund was now.
That's right.
And they have a line of credit, but using the line of credit costs them something.
Yep.
So she would much rather have a little bit of money into the bail fund. I would not put $15,000 in now, but this is the time of year I would be happy to move this to add $3,000, and I'd amend it to that amount.
The seconder, Pam, you were the seconder?
No, I was the mover.
You will do it?
I will do what?
Julie is amending.
I'm sorry, I was not.
Okay, is there a second to Julie's amendment?
Well,
you're changing.
No, you made it.
Julie, you're changing the 15 to 3.
Right? I was.
Is there a seconder? Will. Any discussion about $3,000? Brian.
Yeah, just that any amount of money into that fund, we don't get a chance to hear what happened, you know. And I mean, and I agree, a line of credit is not the right way to fund that. But I think coming back to the appropriate committees and talking about, you know, what the circumstances are as to why it's down, it is appropriate. And then we can make the recommendations as to how much, depending on how far it's down. I mean, I'm not sure what $3,000 today is going to do because she's not here. They may have collected $8,000 worth since we got a report at Public Safety 3 weeks ago. I don't know.
Peter?
I'm
sorry, Pam.
Well, I would just like to point out that We've voted against increasing generally their budget by either $10,000 or $15,000. And what Debbie was pretty clear in pointing out is that when the bail fund gets low, the people who work there spend more hours calling town judges and whomever else they collects this or has this money, trying to get the money back. So So what we are basically doing is we are offering absolutely no relief here in terms of the staff, because more and more of their time is taken up by just chasing down these dollars, and we are offering no increase in hours. So I think this bail fund, the Carroll's proposal, I will vote for it, because I think that any help that we can offer them is good for us to do. But I would say to my colleagues that if this is not something that you want to do, that we should really think again about giving them some relief in terms of their staff time, increasing the staff hours, because we're putting them in an untenable position.
Peter Stein.
I had a discussion with Debbie about this. It's really not necessary. I don't think that they respond when it gets low by calling up the judges. I've never heard that before.
She said it in a presentation.
Well, she may have said it in the presentation. I don't remember it, but I did speak to her about it, and I said, don't we have some kind of a trigger point where we can bring it to the legislature a month before you need it? And she said, yes, that's fine. So I just don't think it's necessary, and I think we ought to do it in a more regular way. When it gets low, then we should refill it.
Thank you, Martha. This is $3,000 we're talking about here.
I know. I mean, I think if we can by Thursday get a list of the last 5 years when we have made contributions to this fund and how much and what the balance is right now, then I'd be happy to consider it then.
Okay. Frank?
And add to that request how much has been lost. My recollection is that Debbie indicated that about $18,000 has been lost.
$16,000 since 2007.
Thank you.
We have on the floor a resolution for $3K to the bail fund. All in favor, please raise your hand. One, two, three. Opposed? I have nine. Opposed? The original motion... $15,000 for the bail fund. All in favor, please raise your hand. One, two. Opposed? 10 opposed. Now I'm at planning, I believe. Mm-hmm. And Carol has won a restoration of staff hours for $20K to Target, and Dooley, you have a new one for restore hours for staff to $40,000. Is that the 20 plus 20 more, or?
It's the 20 plus 20 more. I got the $40,000 figure from Joan to bring everyone to 40 hours, and I will certainly defer to Carol's version because I'm not sure.
So you are moving the 20,000 restoration number?
Pardon?
You are moving the 20,000 restoration
number? I'll move the $20,000 restoration, and I know that Mr. Marks is sitting here. The planning department has...
Well, let's see if you get a second.
Let me get a second, okay? So you're moving 20. Is there a second to this? Will, seconds. Go ahead, Dooley.
The planning department... rather than asking for more money, because their team players too, cut their hours. And it means there are things that they can't do that we would like them to do, and it's probably incumbent upon us to restore some of those hours. So I'd be happy to have the commissioner speak if he'd like to. Or not.
Anyone else?
Is he gone?
Go ahead, Ed.
Well, you know, we didn't ask for this. Dooley's correct. We are team players. And she's also correct. We have reduced hours. Reducing hours has two effects. One is that we cannot maintain the level of activity that we previously did, and there are things that we get asked to do that we can't do. And the second effect, obviously, is on staff's incomes. So... which you know, for a short time probably is okay, but as time goes on, I think it becomes more of an impact on families. So those would be the two reasons I would, you know, certainly appreciate this additional funding if it was offered. Again, we did not request it.
Anyone else? Are we ready to vote on this? A restoration of $20,000 to restore restoration of $20,000 to the planning department budget. All in favor, please raise your hand. 1, 2, please. Opposed? 2, 10. Okay. Oh, that fails. I believe now we are at youth services.
I have a planning department.
There's another planning.
Yeah. I'm sorry?
I have a planning department one. It wasn't on from until Thursday because it came
below.
Late.
Where is that? Oh, sorry. Sorry. 53. Yeah, let's do that one. Ed is here. And
so I'd like to move.
This is removing the sustainability
planner. Position is in OTR that was recommended. I'd like to zero it out.
So is there a second to Leslin's request or amendment to zero out the $25,000 sustainability planner? Is there a second? Mike, I will give you the second on that one.
I'd like to hear about it, yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
Like I said, I was looking at places in the budget that would have the least impact as I added stuff where things can be removed, and this position didn't seem like one that would affect the department that much. I also know that the city of Ithaca at this point is not considering, at least they're still going through their budget, funding this position. It's on a wish list at this point. I don't know what that means. And so I felt that this is one that could offset some of what was being added.
I have Frank, and then I have Martha.
I wanted to ask Leslin or any of the city reps, and Leslin began to answer it. And maybe Ed has a more up-to-date. We all read where the city's having some real concerns. We know that there may be a problem with them funding the TCAT capital program. So I'm wondering, have you got any reading from the city about whether they're going to be able to fund this? Because it was a joint funding for this one.
Right. Right now it's on a list of things they're going to reconsider, as the way I understand it. Kind of as they go through their budget, they set aside things that they want to look at more closely. That's the way it's been described to me. I know that Will and Martha are aware of a conversation we had with the mayor. Today, the mayor thinks it's a very high priority, and he's personally going to advocate for it in the city budget. In fact, the words he used, he considers it a moral issue for the city to walk the walk that they talk when it comes to sustainability. So I think it does help us do some of the things we haven't been able to do. I mentioned earlier with less staff, this wouldn't change existing staff hours, but this position really would allow us to do some of the things within county government that we've been struggling having the time to do. That really would help us walk the walk as well. So,
okay, thanks.
Pam and Pat and Martha.
Ed, what is what are the possibilities of the town pitching into this position?
It's not going to happen next year, but I think in the future. Right now, they have a position that's funded for a limited 18-month position, I believe. In the town that's been, I'm not sure when it's due to expire, it's due to go through 2013, I believe. And so the town indicated, the town supervisor indicated in 2014 that they might be interested in participating. There might be others as well. We haven't reached out to anyone else at this time.
Well, it feels to me that it would be a helpful thing to have a stronger sense of where they stand on this, because our experience with setting things up and then trying to bring the town in later has not always generally worked. I'm in favor of our having a sustainability planner, but I think that it just makes the most sense to have as many municipalities involved in this as possible, and would really like to see something.
Well, I guess what I'd say is the town supervisor just said he thought they'd be very interested, but not, you know, in 2014. So it's hard for him to speak for 2014 budget at this time.
I have Pat, and then Martha.
I just want to clarify, if you can, Ed. Were you suggesting that even if the city does not fund their part of it, that you would intend or want to keep this position at?
That's not what I said. No, our.
Okay, because I thought that was kind of implied in what you said, and that's not my understanding from.
No, that's you. I think I responded to your question when we did our budget presentation.
Right.
And said if
right.
Our intent was if the position was not jointly funded with the city, we wouldn't proceed to spend the funds, and we would not hire a position. So.
So that's still the.
That's still
okay.
The intent, unless the legislature directs me otherwise.
Okay.
Martha.
Yes, I think it's important for us to leave it in here. The city is, my understanding from the mayor. As Ed said, he's still extremely interested in having this, and he will lobby, and he's going to fight for this position. If we, I think he said that on October 30th is when they will vote, is when they will reconsider this. In terms of our timing, that's likely to be after we finish voting, and we will. If we're having our final vote that night, they're having their vote, we can't change it then. But we could certainly, if they do not put it in their budget, we have the opportunity to take it out of our budget. You know, if we say we don't want to fund half of it, if they're not going to fund it, we can do that later on after the public hearing. That's one of the amendments we can make. And, I think that would make sense. But I think in terms of intermunicipal cooperation, in terms of really getting a lot of value for a relatively small amount of money, I think this is a very important initiative. There's the Park Foundation has funded various municipal planners, and even for us, they funded Darby Kiley working on gas drilling. They funded they're funding the person at the town right now. I think they funded the city position for a while. I think that's the role of a foundation to sort of prove the value so that people can see what the value is. And for example, Cervantes said that they had a lot of great work out of that planner who developed this terrific list of things to do, and now she's gone and there's nobody to carry them out. And if you really don't have somebody whose job that is, those kinds of things don't get done. So I hope we will leave it in here for tonight and follow the city's vote and reconsider. If they take it out, then it would certainly be fair for us to reconsider it later on.
I have Mike.
Based on what I've heard, I think what I'd like to do is move to amend to put this amount of money into designated contingency.
Is there a second for that? Pat? Discussion about that. Martha?
Would that would be one time. That wouldn't be target.
That's right.
Right.
Then I find that would be a problem because it's really hard to hire somebody on that basis. You're saying this is a one-time position.
Okay, there's a motion to put it in contingency, and it was seconded. And Pat, you have your hand up, and go ahead.
Well, I'm not sure that that's the way that would have to be interpreted, Martha, because basically every position is a one-year position in that sense. It is true, some are in target and some are not, but even positions that are funded out of target can be changed from year to year.
Well,
so it could just as well be looked at the other way. If it was one time for this coming year, then and it does get funded by the city, then in 2014, if we felt we wanted to continue it, we could put it into target.
If I might, Joe, if you could talk about that for a minute. I feel like we will have time to make the actual decision after we know what the city is doing. So I don't think there's contingent is contingent fund is for when you really don't have all the information until sometime later in the year, and you sort of want to set it aside in case things fall one way or another. But we'll know by October 30th. Joe, could you describe the difference if it's a contingent fund funded position? Yeah. How does that get represented then?
Well, if you approach it from a numbers perspective, if you move target money into the contingency account, your bottom line target budget is really unchanged. It's just where that target money is located. Procedurally, if you decided you were going to spend that contingency money, it needs to come back to you for a separate action when you're ready to move forward with it. So it doesn't necessarily go away as a one-time item would. And we characterize things as one-time items. Here today, gone tomorrow. In the contingency fund, dollar for dollar, that money remains in the baseline target budget of the county. The contingent, this is really where you get into the nerdy weeds of things. The contingency fund, unlike planning, for example, doesn't have a target budget every year. We can vary that every year. That's what creates the vulnerability that you're talking about, Martha. But with respect to setting up the 2013 budget and getting money in the budget to do things including this, you could put target dollars in contingency and then pull it out of that account when you're more certain about what happens with the city. You could do that.
If we go through that and we do that and we hire, will it be advertised as a permanent position?
I
understand there's nothing sure in life. Here's
what you could do. And I'm not advocating anybody's position, but what you could do is if you put it in the contingency account and you see now the city's going to go forward with it and we decide we want to make that a permanent part of the county budget, you would move target dollars from contingency into planning. So that would be as permanent as anything else in the planning budget at that point. Really would be indistinguishable from anything else in that budget. If you take that action to move target from contingency into planning at that time.
Okay, I'm gonna oppose this, and I think we should just set this aside and the whole thing set this aside and wait till we hear from, see what the city does. We'll have time to do that later.
Well, I would support your motion, Mike, if it was one time. I'm not quite sure why you're putting it in contingency.
I just want to put it to rest there and say that we understand that it might not get funded at the city level, and I don't want it. I think it should be out of the planning budget at that point. Before that point, I should say.
Let me ask this: if it were removed completely, we didn't act on it now, and delayed action, would we accomplish the same thing? Wait for the city to do something, and then. We can have at it one more time.
We have a motion on the floor.
Yeah, I understand that, but
you could.
Yeah,
Frank? You could bring it back, even if we wait till the night that we actually vote on the budget.
That's true.
We could bring it back at that point. Leslin, off the top of your head, do you recollect when the city will be voting on its budget?
No, sir. October 30th.
Oh, so it'll be plenty of time. We're not going to vote on the county budget until after that.
I mean, this is Leslin's resolution. It seems to me that she would be the one that would be making this decision.
I'm done with my resolution.
Well, the question was, could we bring it back? And to answer Jim's question, the answer is yes.
Leslin, are you of the mind to change your resolution or remove it?
No, sir. Someone can move a different resolution to table, but I'm not.
Okay.
So what's on the floor?
What's on the floor is
Mike's
to move it into
contingency
target money in contingency?
Just
move it in contingency, okay?
I guess so.
Do we need any more discussion on that?
I just want clarity. So Leslin's motion was to remove it. Mike's was to keep it but move it to contingency.
Right.
As
target money.
Okay. And
it has to be designated target from what Joe said.
It has to be designated. Okay. So I just want to speak in favor of retaining it, and I'm less concerned about where it is, whether it's a target or contingency, but I do think that if we remove it, we will be sending a very strong signal to the city that we do not support that, and it will be dead. And I think that this is actually one of the most critically important things that we really ought to do. As Cervantes said, I think it is a moral imperative, and I think it's incredibly short-sighted for us not to be funding this kind of effort. So I don't care particularly where it is, but I do not want to kill it tonight.
I have Peter.
Yeah, I agree with what Will said. I think that we can change, because of the timings of the two jurisdictions, we can make a change. If, in fact, they defeat it, then we can take it out of the budget at that time before we approve it. So I think that it's dangerous to take it out because it could be interpreted that way from the city, particularly for people who don't want it.
I think we're ready to vote on this. Would you agree, Martha?
Well, I think sending it to contingency will send a very kind of, I don't know what kind of message that sends to the city. I think we should just let it stand, and they know that we that when they know we can take it out later if they don't fund it.
Yeah. Well, then I think, Dave?
Yeah, is it possible to make a different motion on this, perhaps to table it pending the city's decision?
Well, I have Mike's resolution on the floor. We have two resolutions. Can we just do a table? Yeah, are you doing a tabling motion?
Yes.
Is there a second to tabling, Martha? No discussion? All in favor of tabling this item, raise your hand, please. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Opposed to tabling, should be 5.
Point of order, what exactly did we table? Did we table Mike's motion or Mike and Leslin's motion?
Which one did you vote for?
Take your pick.
I thought we tabled the whole thing.
We did.
Okay,
we did.
Thank you.
That was what I was saying. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Leslin. You're going to revisit on this one.
So it's tabled, huh?
Yeah, it's tabled. I know, 7-5.
Yeah.
Leslin, Kathy Schlatter's in the back of the room, and
I haven't had a chance to talk to Kathy as yet.
Do you want to do that one?
No, I don't want to do that.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. Forget it. We'll go back to where we are. I believe we're at Youth Services.
No, that's for Thursday.
Whoa. Kevin, where?
We're all done. Everything else is Thursday.
You're so thorough.
Oh, sorry. I just want to roll ahead here. All right. We're done. Anyone want to say anything for the record?
Motion to adjourn.
Sir, I do have a question. Could you review what the procedure is for submitting amendments or items for consideration? Either for Thursday, are we beyond deadline for Thursday?
No, we're not.
And we're certainly not beyond the deadline for next week, for next Tuesday.
The deadline.
Shh. We're still meeting.
You have 24 hours before the Thursday meeting, which starts at 6:30, by the way, and to submit amendments to Kevin, and he will get them out. I am hoping that things go relatively well on Thursday, and we could be in a position to recommend a tentative budget. Leslin.
So this is a request for Kevin. Is it possible to get this on a longer sheet of paper when you do it? It's really hard to read.
Okay.
Thank you. Or tell me how to blow it up.
Yeah.
My eyes are glossy.
I was just curious about this 24-hour. Did we vote on that, or did the budget committee vote on that, or how did that come to be?
To give departments a chance to respond.
Yeah, it was.
So that for additions.
We could.
Okay, I would have a problem though. Somebody submitted a resolution late, and they were not allowed to bring it forward. So I mean, I think it's a general rule that accommodating department heads for 24 hours is a good idea. But I would be very unhappy to hear that a legislator's recommendation or amendment changes were brought forward however late, if they were turned down.
Let me just reply to that. Pam, it was my effort to keep it in an orderly fashion.
And that's good. And okay. I appreciate that. And, but I'm just saying that, well, this is a general rule, but it's not a hard rule.
And I'm not without changing my mind. I would certainly do that.
Okay.
Martha?
Well, I think we've always had, you know, people can make motions on the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I just wanted to make sure that we're still
It's clearly, I mean, you all know everything is in play, okay? You know, so thank you all for coming. We'll see you Thursday at 6:30.